Quinlan gets the ball down. It's grabbed by Conlon. Conlon well done.
Quinlan gets past the couple of tackles. Still going. Shows tremendous pace. Conlon will straighten up. Have the long shot at goal.
The music might have been too loud for the commentary there. That was the 86 elimination final. Wispy, you love this. You like talking to old players, not older.
Older
former
players.
Yes. About their ailments and how they've got out of football, whether they've got out of it okay, and then it can lead us down any different paths. Way before footy became ultra-professional, and we're talking about the modern-day players who, it's their full-time job, so they can train all day, whatever. This man was that far ahead of his time, it didn't matter. And you could tell when you saw him running around. He was in magnificent condition. And his name is Mick Conlon. He played 210 games for Fitzroy. The Fitzroy team in that period were so good. We often talk about them, don't we? 395 goals. He was a star. He's been good enough to join us. Mickey, welcome.
Good morning, Gary and Tim. How are you both?
No, we're going well. We're really excited about having a chat with you because when your name came up in our meeting, we said, well, yes, let's get him on for lots of different reasons. But where do we find you today? How where are you working? I know you're in the sports industry for a long time with Nike and Reebok. What are you up to now?
No, good question, Gary. I'm working for a fitness equipment company called Matrix. And it's one of the biggest global companies in premium fitness equipment. So I've sort of fallen on my feet a bit over a long period of time and working in the sporting goods industry for over 40 years now. Now I'm selling fitness equipment and running this company here in Australia. So it's a sort of, I've got the keys to the toy shop, so to speak, and I've got a gym downstairs at work that I walk past every day, so no excuses not to have a workout.
Well, you were never one for excuses when it came to that, because the thing we often talk about was just how fit you were as a footballer. I mean, all your footy stuff stood for itself, but your fitness regime is legendary. Is it true? And this is Tim and I were talking about this in the air break. We get up at 4:30 because we have to. Is it true you get up at 3:30 every morning?
Yes, no, look, I've done that for a very long time, Tim and Gary, and it's just really, you know, sort of making way to make sure I have a good workout before I go to work, and I actually really enjoy getting up that time of the day. It's no one's around, and you just got to go to bed early, though, but it's an early start.
What do you do at
3:30? What are you doing at 3:30 in the morning?
Well, actually, I like to get up and first thing I like to do is have a little coffee and a shave, and then I got a routine of stretching and core work I do, and then I'm out on the footpath about 4:15 having a jog, and then I swim, and then I finish off with a workout, and I've got a gym at home now, so it's about an hour and a half to 2 hour routine I do every morning.
Every day, so this is 7 days a week, Mick?
Yeah, 7 days a week, but I do sleep in on Saturdays and Sundays, Tim. I sleep in until about 5:30. And
no.
I think that's a negotiation I had to have with my wife, because I think she was about to divorce me if I kept getting up at 3:30 every day. So you got to compromise here and there.
Hey, Mick, if Gary got up at 3:30 in the morning and had a shave at 3:30 in the morning, he'd have to have another shave at 7 o'clock in the morning before he went to work.
Well, I am a bit lucky. I haven't got a heavy throat, and it's only a quick shave, but it's just a way of sort of waking up, freshening up, and, you know, before you sort of start getting into the routine. But look, as you guys both did, we've done it for such a long time, and one of the sort of key things I never did, I never stopped training. When I finished playing football, I always like to keep in reasonable condition. And look, fortunately, that's just become a really good routine and a very important part of my life.
Hey, Mick, that audio that we played as part of the introduction to this interview with you, that was the 1986 elimination final out of Waverley. Fitzroy obviously beat Essendon that day. What do you remember about that game?
Look, it's as clear as yesterday, Tim. The remembrance of that was, as you know, in those times, we had some really tough battles with Essendon and had great respect for each other's teammates and their performance. And that day we went in as underdogs, I think yourself and Big Simon may have been out injured, and we had Bernie and Matt Rendell out injured. And look, it was going to be a tough one. And we got through, and I had a shocking day. I think I was held to about four kicks by Michael Thompson, who was a really tough competitor, and I managed to get hold of the ball for the fifth time in the day, right about a minute to go, and I was very fortunate to get a good pass from Leon Harris, and I steered it through. And look, it was an incredible victory for us, because Essendon at that point in time were clearly the number one team in the comp in 86.
Hey, Mick, my memory, if it serves me correct, I was sitting there watching that game that day. It was a very wet game at Waverley, and you loved to run and bounce the ball. Did you actually bounce the ball in the wet that day before you kicked that goal on the run?
No, I didn't. That's a good point. It was raining for the majority of the day. No, look, it was just one of those ones where I'd had a shot about 10 minutes earlier and it just missed. And I thought, God, I'll never live this down having missed that. And when I got the opportunity and got the ball, I just clearly had a very strong vision in my mind that this was going to go through. And I just managed to step it out, you know, as you do, just at nice 10 to probably 15 metres. And thank God it went through.
Hey, we're talking to Mick Conlon here about all sorts of things. You also were the head of footy up in Queensland at a time when footy up there was just starting to really flourish, and you did an unbelievably good job. And you're a Tasmanian, you're a native of Tasmania, of course, where your father was a star and you were born. What's your thoughts on the expansion down into Tassie? Have you got a strong opinion?
Yeah, no, look, it's a great question, Gary. And having worked for the AFL on a couple of occasions, and the last job I had with them was up in Queensland and managing all their pathway programs. And realistically, you know, there are a lot of people from Queensland moved up from down south and, you know, the Victorian, Western Australian, Tasmanian states. And look, Tasmania, you and I are both old Devonport boys. And yep. I remember your father took over the coaching of Devonport after my father had coached there. And look, I think as Tasmania per capita, it's like New Zealand in a lot of ways. It's strong, you know, passion for football, and they've given so much to the major league competitions with their talent pathway programs and the talent that comes out of Tassie. And having seen the Gold Coast structure built and seen the GWS structure built, to me, the Tasmanian team's a no-brainer. Mm. And I think if both organisations, the AFL and the Tasmanian government, were to sit down and clearly map it out, and I think Hawthorne's done a magnificent job in growing that position for them down there over the last 20 years. But it's really time, I think, that Tasmania should have its own team. Whether a club does relocate there or whether they form their own team, because if you look at the history of Fitzroy, and I went through it, where Fitzroy wouldn't relocate, so the AFL had to set up the Brisbane Bears. No different to, you know, North Melbourne when they were going to go to the Gold Coast. Hence, they didn't, and they set up the Gold Coast. But I think Tasmania is in a really great position now to have its own team.
Well, we've already mentioned the fact that you wake up at 3:30 a.m. each day. You run, you swim, you lift weights, you have a shower. You have a shave as well. I'm thinking that maybe you're not in bad nick then, Mick, and that you're not troubled too much by post-AFL career or VFL career injuries?
No, look, I'm very, very lucky today. Look, I've got no injuries at this point in time, and I've had very little surgery compared to a lot of other players. I had a couple of knee scrapes after footy and a bit of a scrape in the hip, and I had a troublesome big right toe that sort of troubled me through my career for a couple of seasons. I had all that cleaned up. And also, because I had the jaw rattled on a few occasions by some tough backmen I played on over the years, and I've sort of, one area I've had to sort of, you know, some new teeth put back in and replace the ones that came out. But overall, look, I've had very, very good support. Some great, good mate of mine, Doc Pete Larkins, has looked after me for about 35 years, and I'm very lucky to get out of the game with minimal injuries, and I've had good medical advice over the years, and I've really managed that carefully. Like Gary, I had a shocking back problem when I finished the game, and I've had to work really hard on that, because that's just constantly every day you're negotiating and managing your back injuries. And look, touch wood, you know, I've had a great ride, but you've got to just work at it to make sure you sort of stay injury free.
Hey, Mick, just one final question, because we hear this. Everyone knows how meticulous you are in terms of your preparation. You look after yourself, that type of thing. There's a story that when you drive your car after you've ironed your shirt and your tie and everything's in pristine condition, you actually hold the seat belt out so that it doesn't crumple your shirt. Now, is that true or not?
Tim, I can categorically say absolutely.
Now, I'm glad you've confirmed this.
I'm not embarrassed about this because it takes me about 20 minutes to iron a shirt to get it in pristine condition. And I'm not going to jump in the car and after 5 or 10 minutes have it creased. So it was an old habit I learned from a previous boss of mine. He said, son, hold your seatbelt out if it works. You'll get out of the car and you won't have your shirt that you just spent 10, 15 minutes on ironing. You won't have a crease on it. So it was one little habit I picked up from an old boss, and that story's being carried around today. I think it goes off in sportsmen's nights around the country. So I might be remembered for holding the seatbelt out so I don't crease my shirt.
You can blame Glenn Lovett, he told me. Now, what about we've got to get moving as well. But this is people I know go to work. If they start at 9 o'clock Wisp, then they'll drag themselves out of bed at 28 past 8.
Yeah.
quickly grab something and get to work by 9. So you've ironed your shirt into a military crease.
Yep. Starched it.
You've done 3 workouts, swimming, weights, and a run, had a shave. This is an extraordinary performance from you, Mick, and the messages coming through are suggesting that this cannot be true. So they want to know what time you go to bed.
Well, that's a good question. I get asked that a lot. I'm in bed by about very latest 9 o'clock, but I might sneak in about 8:30, and I sort of have a long day. I sort of hit the office here around about 6:45, 7 a.m., and finish up about 6:30, 7 p.m. And look, it's it's a good routine, but I sort of love doing what I'm doing. And look, it's you just got to get at least 6 hours sleep. I try to work on, and that works very well for me.
And very quickly, I'm having a look at some of this Matrix fitness equipment. Is it better to get the cardio gear or the strength training stuff?
Well, look, we specialise in both, Gary. We're probably more renowned for our cardio and our strength. It's more in the premium end, but it's an amazing product. And as you boys know, we've worked on this equipment basically all of our sporting careers. So for me to be able to work for a really good company and sort of being able to understand the product, because we've all worked on, done our cardio exercises and our strength exercises. So, look, it's a dream job. I've got the keys to the toy shop, I keep telling everybody.
Well, I don't think they could have had picked a better CEO, because you live the lifestyle that you do. You're a fantastic ambassador for it, mate. Great to go down memory lane with you today. We really appreciate it and really good to talk to you.
Yeah, lovely to talk to you both, Gary and Tim. Really appreciate it.
Go on, you, Mick.
There he is, Mick Conlon. What a star he was.